A deal has been reached in California that would address rising tuition for students who attend the University of California, at least in-state students. Governor Jerry Brown and the president of the university, Janet Napolitano, agreed last week to a deal that would freeze in-state tuition for 2 years and make up the difference by boosting state aid to the UC system. In the latest installment of our View from the Top series of conversations with leaders, we're joined now by the university president, Janet Napolitano. Welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you.
And this agreement on the tuition freeze, on the face of it, it looks like a short-term solution. Instead of raising tuition for in-state students for 2 years, the state's going to kick in some more money. Is that what it feels like to you, a short-term solution?
No, I think it's actually a long-term framework for the University of California, and it really sets up the university to continue to be a leader amongst public universities. So here's what it does. It freezes in-state tuition for 2 more years, and then it starts plugging in regular, predictable tuition increases for in-state students. There's no such freeze for out-of-state students. The agreement anticipates that that tuition will go up to 8% this year and next year, and 5% thereafter. The agreement also provides substantial new money to the university to resolve its pension liabilities, and that in turn will supplement what we've been able to pay for the pension liability, and that in turn, for people who do this kind of work, means that the campuses as employers will not have to put in as much to pay down the pension.
But what about when many years from now, let's say there's another recession, another serious recession, the state falls on hard times and it says we can't afford to do what we did during that period of time?
Well, you know, in that case, it'll have to be rejiggered. But I think for present purposes and really as a framework for the long term, because there are also other parts to the framework. There are parts about how we deal with transfer students. There's a part about making sure that we review and the faculty reviews the curriculum so that those students who wish to can do whatever it takes to graduate in 3 years, but that most students have the ability to graduate in 4, as they do now. But as you know, in colleges, curriculums tend to accrete over time. And we're going to do something that UCLA has piloted already and do it system-wide to make sure that our curriculum matches what our students need for this day and age. And that, of course, will have long-term implications.
So in the long term, what can be done about rising tuition? And as you look at the numbers right now for an in-state student, even with this freeze, when you factor in room and board and fees and all that, we're talking about more than $30,000 a year. It's more than $50,000 for out-of-state students, which is not something that poor Californians or even maybe middle-class Californians would be able to afford.
Well, let's talk about California. First of all, in-state tuition now is about $12,000.
But when you add in the room and board, it's more than
that. Yeah, you're talking about the total cost of attending college. For students who come from families that make less than $80,000 a year in California, they pay no tuition and they pay no fees. So they are only paying for food and room and board. And we have other generous financial aid available for them. We worry about our middle class students and are working on things to keep their costs down. But when we look at the average California undergraduate at the University of California, half will graduate with no debt whatsoever. And another half, if they have debt, will graduate for the total 4 years with about $20,000. And, you know, while we would like everybody to have no debt, $20,000 is a manageable number. Our graduates do very well when they graduate. They get jobs, they get good jobs, or they go on to grad school or professional school. So this is a leading public research university, and we're very attuned to the financial needs of our students.
And you think the cost is reasonable?
I think the cost, matches the quality, you know, is very commensurate given the quality of the education that's provided. However, let me make this other point, and that is when people say, well, the cost of tuition keeps going up and up and up, when you look at what's happened in California, It's almost one for one because the state reduced its appropriation. You know, public universities, the states used to put in the overwhelming bulk of the money to pay for the schools. That's been cut back in California, as in almost every other state,
yeah.
And tuition rose as a result. What this agreement reaffirms is the state of California's commitment to what historically has been one of the unique features of the state of California, which is its higher education system.
Well, do you think that we'll ever get back to a point, as occurred in history, where the University of California is actually free for all students? From 1868, I read, until 1968, it was free for all students. Even in the 90s, it was only $4,300 a year for in-state residents.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? That would be terrific. But, you know, I think we have to deal with the real world here. And I think that is highly speculative that we will get back to that point. So what we have to do is be as effective and efficient in managing our costs as we can be. And as I mentioned, you know, the fact that the state is willing to put in hundreds of millions of dollars to deal with our pension liabilities. When people hear pension liabilities, their eyes freeze over, but that's a big deal from a budget standpoint. The fact that the state is willing to anticipate future tuition increases, but they'll be low and predictable and pegged to the rate of inflation. That's a good statement for the state of California. It's a good statement for the university.
We're speaking with Janet Napolitano, the president of the University of California. And President Napolitano, I just want to get your thoughts on a couple of other things, including how the drought is affecting the University of California, if at all.
First of all, we have a huge environmental footprint in California, as you might imagine. So last year, we announced that we were reducing our water consumption by 20%. We'll be looking to do even more, commensurate with what the governor is asking. But the other thing, this is what you can do when you have a great research university. We have some of the world's leading experts on how to manage water, how to engineer for water, how to conduct agriculture in periods of drought, what kinds of crops, new crops, etc. So we feel that we can actually contribute to the state's efforts to not only survive, but to continue to thrive even during a period of drought.
But for now, it's not as if students living on the University of California campuses are being asked to take shorter showers or anything like that?
No, not at all.
Not right now. There have been some protests, as you know, including at UC campuses against Israel's occupation of the West Bank. Some Jewish students are saying the protests are anti-Semitic. The question has been raised, and I want to ask you, do you think the University of California should adopt the State Department's definition of anti-Semitism, which says anyone who denies Israel's right to exist is being anti-Semitic?
Well, I think there's a serious point raised there, and I think that is actually going to be on the Board of Regents' agenda at its July meeting.
But you don't take a position on it at this point?
I think it would be, I have my own personal view, and I think my personal view is that we should, but I think the Board of Regents has to resolve that as a policy for the University of California.
Finally, as we approach the 2016 presidential season, as far as education goes, what topics would you like to see the presidential candidates address?
I would like to see, and now I'm speaking for myself, but I would like to see our presidential candidates speak about the future and what kind of future we're going to create in this country. And that requires really thinking about what the federal government's role is in that. I'd like to hear more discussion about the role of basic research, which has basically been outsourced to universities to conduct. I'd like to see more of a discussion about how our young people get properly educated for the challenges of this next century without graduating with mountains of unmanageable debt. I would like to see our presidential candidates address the need to invest in the brain power capacity of this country, which is what is the distinguishing feature that allows us in a competitive environment around the globe to continue to be the kind of country we are and to have the kind of economy we do.
Well, is there an area of study that you think 10 years from now is going to be really hot that we need to be investing in right now?
I think there will be many. One area where I can already see major change happening and research being done is the whole area of medicine, medical care, and that is really at a substantial pivot point right now in terms of the research being done. But the process that one has to go through in order to take a bright idea, to do the research, to conduct the trials, to get something to the market is very long, laborious, and expensive. And for our really bright young scientists, and they are really bright, trust me, the ability to get grants to help them with that initial research has almost been eliminated. Why? Because the federal government has cut back on so much funding. That's what I mean when I say I would like to hear our candidates talk about how we build for the future.
Janet Napolitano, president of the University of California. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.